Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to this Monday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. It's great to have you with me today. We're starting a whole new series called Thanksgiving, Praise, and Worship. And by the way, if you haven't been with us over the last few weeks, there have been some marvelous series. Log on to DerekPrince.org. You'll find all of those series. You can listen to them over and again. And you'll especially find, by the way, the series we're starting now called Thanksgiving, Praise, and Worship. We're going to be listening to it over the next several weeks, and so you might miss one or two, but that's fine. Again, log onto the website. I want you to think for just a moment about what you define as worship or praise. Is it two songs before the sermon on Sunday morning? Is it what Michael W. Smith does? Is it your favorite worship album as you clean the house? Is it a two-hour worship extravaganza at your church? What is praise and worship? What is Thanksgiving to you? Well, this week, Derek Prince is going to be talking about how we give praise, worship, and thanksgiving to God, what it means, what it does to us, how we're made for it. This is going to be our theme for the next few weeks. So you want to get your Bible, you want to get a pad and something to take notes with, and really listen to this, because I'll tell you, you're going to find that this is much more than just emotional excitement for a few moments on Sunday morning in church. This is about your heart's response to the Father. So let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us about thanksgiving, praise, and worship.
To appreciate what I'm going to say, you may need to make a mental adjustment. So often in our relationship with God, we think only in terms of what we can receive from God. We do not realize how much we have to give to God. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, Paul is speaking to a group of Christian leaders, and he exhorts them to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." In these words, Jesus himself gives us a key to obtaining the greatest possible blessings. There is a blessing in receiving, but there's an even greater blessing in giving. And this is true not only in our relationship with our fellow men, it's true also in our relationship with God. We are blessed when we receive from God, but we are even more blessed when we give to God. Actually, God himself has ordained that whenever his people come before him, they shall come not merely to receive from him, but also to give to him. Under the Mosaic covenant, God said to Israel in Exodus 23, verse 15, "None shall appear before me empty-handed." Again, God says to his people more generally in Psalm 96, 8, "Bring an offering and come into his courts." So we see that God always wants us to have something to give to him whenever we come to him. If we come to him without anything to give him, we are not meeting his requirements. When we're confronted with this requirement of God that we shall always have something to give him whenever we come before him, the first thing that we usually think about is money or material possessions. Now, it is true that God does require us to offer to him from our finances and material possessions. This requirement is clearly stated in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, where it says this, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." So honoring the Lord from our wealth and the first of all our produce is clearly bringing to him offerings from our finances and material possessions. However, in addition to money and material possessions, there are various other extremely important things that we can give to God. In my talk today, I'm going to speak about some of these things. That is, things other than money and material possessions that we are asked by God to give to him. I'm going to read several passages of Scripture, first from the Old Testament and then from the New Testament, all of which speak about things that God asks us to give Him. And notice in every case the things are not money or material possessions. I'll start at Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Here we are asked to give to the Lord glory and strength. Obviously, these are not material things. They're not money or other material possessions of ours. And yet God says we're to give Him glory and strength. There's one key word there that indicates how we can do this. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So when we are worshiping God, we're giving to Him things that are not material. And then in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter is writing to Christians, and he says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Here, as Christians, we are told that we are a priesthood, and that as priests, we are to offer to God. But Peter says that the specific offerings we are to bring are not material, but spiritual sacrifices. So we see that God requires spiritual sacrifices from us when we come to Him, because we're a priesthood, and it's the responsibility of priests to offer sacrifices.
You know, we don't seem to have much problem knowing that we ought to give financially. That we're pretty sure of. We do that in church. We tithe. We put money into the basket. What I think we need to come to a fresh understanding of is that God is not just interested in our money. He wants our hearts. And our heart's response to Him, to His presence, to His greatness, to His awesome presence in our lives is worship. It's praise. And when we begin to see it in that way, it becomes more than just a few songs, more than just a few lyrics. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Do you long to truly know God? To actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through His marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. We're already one segment into a marvelous new teaching by Derek Prince called Thanksgiving, Praise, and Worship. And if you've missed already this first segment, you're welcome to log on to the website at derekprince.org. You can get not only what you've missed, but anything else you're about to miss in the next 2 weeks of this great teaching. Now let's get right to it as Derek Prince teaches us about how we are a holy priesthood who are meant to offer sacrifices to our God.
In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter is writing to Christians, and he says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Here, as Christians, we are told that we are a priesthood, and that as priests, we are to offer to God. But Peter says that the specific offerings we are to bring are not material, but spiritual sacrifices. So we see that God requires spiritual sacrifices from us when we come to Him, because we're a priesthood, and it's the responsibility of priests to offer sacrifices. And then again in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the writer says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." Here again, the writer is speaking about a sacrifice that God asks us to bring to him. But it's not material, it's not a beast, it's not money, it's a sacrifice of praise. This is one of the spiritual sacrifices that Peter had in mind when he spoke about offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So we're going to look now more specifically at the kind of spiritual sacrifices that God asks us to give to him. Here then are three specific spiritual gifts or sacrifices that we can give to God: thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Let me say those once more: thanksgiving, praise, and worship. I need to explain briefly how these are related, how they differ, and what they have in common. Let me suggest to you that you can think of them in terms of the colors of the rainbow. We know that there are seven colors in the rainbow, all of which are distinct, and yet each shades into the colors next to it. So they're distinct, and yet they shade off into one another. I believe that's true of the things that we're talking about: thanksgiving, praise, and worship. They're distinct, and yet they shade off into one another. Let me offer you a very simple way to think of them as distinct, something that will help you to see a distinction between them. And I'm not offering this as an absolute law, but just as a helpful suggestion. Thanksgiving relates to God's goodness. Praise relates to God's greatness. Worship relates to God's holiness. Essentially, when we thank God, we thank him for his goodness, the good things he does, specifically good things he's done for us. When we praise God, we're thinking of his greatness. One of the Psalms says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." It's God's greatness that provokes praise. But worship is related to holiness. Now, holiness, of all the attributes of God, is in a class by itself. It's one of the things that apply to God for which we have no real corresponding standard on the human level. When we think of goodness, we can think of human beings who are, to a certain extent, good. Likewise, when we think of greatness, we can think of great men and great women. But when we think of holiness, we have no standard of reference, really, except God himself. So holiness is in a class by itself, and that places worship also in a class by itself, because worship relates to God's holiness. Now, thanksgiving and praise are primarily utterances of our mouths, but worship is primarily an attitude. I'll go into this more fully in later talks. Let me just lay the principle here. Thanksgiving and praise are primarily utterances of our mouths. Worship is primarily an attitude. Now, I want to take a picture of worship and praise from the heavenly level and show you how it is in heaven. This picture is found in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." There, in that vivid and beautiful description, we see a picture of three things: worship, praise, and service. Worship is the attitude. The seraphs covered both their faces and their feet with their wings. That covering up of faces and feet is worship. Praise was expressed in spoken words, the words they uttered. Service was expressed by their flying. Now notice the following proportions. They used four wings for worship, two for service. In other words, worship is twice as important as service. Secondly, worship comes before service.
You know, sometimes Derek defines things in a way that really helps me. And this time he said thanksgiving and praise relate to the words of our mouth, but worship is an attitude. Worship is an attitude of our hearts, honoring the God who made us, who saved us, and who is awesome in our sight. But thanksgiving and praise are the words of our mouth. The Bible commands both. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Do you long to truly know God, to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through His marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and here on this Monday, we're starting a wonderful series called Thanksgiving, Praise, and Worship by Derek Prince. Here in the studio to help me process and apply this is David Holland, one of the producers of our show, a pastor, scholar, writer. Dave, always great to have you here.
Hey, thank you, Stephen. It's my pleasure.
Let me describe something that I've been doing recently that is really changing me, and it comes to mind as I think about what Derek's been teaching. I do a lot of travel, and I speak in a lot of churches, and of course, I worship with those churches. But I have to tell you that recently I had the idea to load some great worship songs onto my iPod.
Yeah.
And when I'm in my hotel room, I don't do it in the airplane, but when I'm in my hotel room, I put that on and I worship with it. I've actually organized the song, so it's like a progression, a worship progression. Hmm. And I've got songs by Kim Hill and Third Day and people like that I really admire. I want you to know that cultivating that personal worship life has really changed my spiritual life. Now, I'm a man of the Word. I'm a man of study. I'm a man who reads the Greek and the Hebrew and the history and all that. But there's something about giving vent to my soul's need to connect with the Father and to worship Him that has really changed me. And I find myself, you know, wandering through an airport or out in the yard or wherever in the grocery store, just sort of quietly singing these songs. And what I find is it's not so much the song or the name of the worship leader. I'm not trying to make stars out of them. It's the fact that my spirit wants to connect with God through worship. And if I'll give place to that, it just raises the whole water table of my whole soul's life before God. It's absolutely been amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's something extraordinarily powerful about turning vertical. We live in the horizontal, and the horizontal adds stress, and the horizontal adds noise, and it drains us, and it draws from us. And there is something about orienting our face, not literally, but figuratively, turning our face toward God and getting vertical for a moment. And there's something powerful about the way worship music has the ability to help facilitate that. It's not absolutely vital to it, but it certainly facilitates it. That making that vertical connection, our soul gets calmer. What we're choppy, white capping waters that where there's all this noise inside our heads, those waters begin to calm. Our perspective changes, and it changes everything. It really, truly is a powerful thing.
Well, and I have to tell you, it's really changed my prayer life because I tend to be a list maker. I carry a BlackBerry. I've got a prayer list that I pray almost every day. But there comes a point, and I know you're supposed to, you know, give him no rest, so to speak, until he, you know, gives Jerusalem peace, and you're supposed to be constantly going to the Lord, constantly, almost like, you know, he compares himself with almost an unrighteous judge in the gospel, saying, you know, even the unrighteous judge will do a good thing if he's bugged enough, is what he's basically saying. And I understand that, but I got to tell you, a lot of my time before the Lord has switched to worship from request making.
Yeah.
Because he knows me. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He knows my needs even before I express them. Yes, I need to express them. I know we have not because we ask not. But as I've moved into a greater life of worship, I have greater communion with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we teacher types often do, we use our own marriage as an example. You know, I know what Beverly, my wife, needs because I'm with her all the time. I know what she needs. You know, I bought her a camera the other day because I know she needs it. She never asked for it. She didn't have to send me an email or make her a formal request. I just know that she needs one.
Sure.
Because I'm with her. I hang with her. I have a relationship with her. And this is, I think, the way, I'm not saying it's an alternate to prayer, but I'm saying it sure transforms your orientation on prayer when you move from making requests according to a list to entering into the passion of Jesus for the earth and for the body of Christ and entering into that personal relationship with God through worship.
No question about it. And it makes it easier for you to receive. There's another element that goes very much along with what Derek's sharing with us this week that I've added to my prayer life as well. And I've been trying to be very diligent to make sure that I am a person of gratitude, of gratefulness to God. And we see that in the scripture tied very much, and Derek's addressing that this week, you know, that with thanksgiving we are to make our requests known unto God. And as a dad, I'm always very much aware of how powerful gratitude is from your kids. I heard a comedian one time, Rhett Butler, who's a little profane, but I heard her say one time in answer to the question, somebody asked me once why I never had kids. And she said, I chose to never have children because I never wanted to be the focus of that much ingratitude. And you can relate a little bit. If you've been a parent, you can relate to the fact that often you go seasons of time in which you're doing everything for your children. You're making great sacrifices, and you would do the world for them. But just a little gratitude would do wonders for you as a parent. Well, you know, there's something about approaching God with a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude, that doesn't necessarily change his posture toward us, but it changes our posture toward him. It's a powerful thing.
Well, and you know, again, I mentioned my wife, Beverly. She has this way of taking my complaints and saying, you know, but there's a lot to be thankful for here. Hey, you know, but there's a lot she could be thankful for. And it's not that she's rebuking me or trying to be in some light and cutesy way spiritual. It's that really she recognizes there's so much to be grateful for in our lives, that any expression of griping or complaining or whining is a lack of recognition. It's a lack of just really not, you're just not seeing correctly. And I'm very thankful for that because there is so much to be grateful for. In fact, you know, the book of Romans tells us that if we're not a grateful people, we are reprobate. I mean, we really are darkened in our understanding and heading towards a real spiritual decline if we don't cultivate an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
And I realize that rhymes and I didn't intend for it to, but the point is, I think that there's an attitude of whining. There was actually a Newsweek cover article not too long ago that said we're a nation of whiners and voyeurs. And I think that's very, very true. And this attitude of whining is really from a spoiled people. I mean, we are the richest, most well-financed, best-equipped people in the history of the world. And my belief is that we have so much to be thankful for, and we need as a nation to begin to cultivate that attitude very much. I'm thankful Derek's bringing these truths back to us.
Absolutely. And I think before we go, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we have one of our resource offers for this week is all about this. So approaching God, finding intimacy with him. It's a new, relatively new book by Derek called Entering the Presence of God. It's $12.95. It's available on the website if you want to go get it. We think it'll help you a lot. It's derekprince.org. Go on there, look for Entering the Presence of God by Derek Prince. You'll find good stuff there. It'll help you.
I love that scripture that says that he inhabits the praises of his people.
Yeah.
And that's a fast track to relationship. David, always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Stephen.
Listen, that's all the time we have for now, but we've got so much more great material coming this week, so don't miss a moment of it. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment to order your copy of Derek's new and inspiring book, Entering the Presence of God. Available right now for only $12.95. Simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, Call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy of Entering the Presence of God securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org.